Thank God. God is so good, so wonderful, marvelous. It's amazing how big He is. You know, anything that you might be facing right now is nothing compared to how vast He is. You know, He's seen it all. He's been around forever. You just think of all the different things the world has gone through and faced over the years, and He saw in intimate detail every situation. And so anything that we're dealing with or that we see in our lives is just such a tiny little bit, you know, in comparison to what the world has seen over time, not belittling it, but and then who we're talking about, the God of the universe, the one that created the universe, that He knows every part of the universe. He has it all mapped. It's so vast, and it blows our mind, but He knows every square inch of it. And He knows everything that is going on in every part of the earth right now, in every person's life. He knows what was going on 100 years ago, all the different wars, all the different changes the world has gone through. You know, He was there. And now we come on the scene a few decades ago, a few years ago, and He sees what's going on in our lives, but look at who we're talking about. He's amazing. So right there, even though we can't see certain things, even though we might have limited understanding, we're walking with one that has unlimited. He's unlimited in every way. Only limits He has, He's placed on Himself. That's amazing. That's who we're serving. That's who we're looking to tonight. He's not limited. Amen. So we've been talking about, been a few weeks since we've spoken on this, but healing and our words. And so why don't we turn over real quick to Romans 10, 9 to 10, and we'll go from there. Healing and our words, Romans 10, 9 and 10. God is so good. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Everybody there? You find it? Still looking? Want everybody to see it. You guys all set? Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how we get saved. In verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's hold our finger there and look at Mark 11. I'm talking about healing in our words. What do our words have to do with healing? This applies in every area of our lives, but we're focusing on healing. But you can apply this in any area. Mark 11, 23. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's look at it one more time. It says, for assuredly, that means for sure. Verily. Truth. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain. Is that just a select few? Whoever? How many people in this room, you're a whoever? Huh? We're all whoevers. He said, whoever. It means anybody. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So he didn't say anything about your head. He said your heart. This is a big deal. If you can get it, if you can get this one thing, because we're talking about what we're saying, and we're going to go further in it, but you don't have to feel like it. You don't have to have it all figured out in your head. See, some people get tripped up because they, well, I don't feel like that's true. I just don't feel like it today. It's not what the Word says here. I don't understand. Okay? But that's not what the Word says. It says you don't doubt in your heart. It doesn't say you don't have any doubt in your head. You can have thoughts ringing in your head. When you're talking about healing, you can have symptoms. Something can be attacking your body. And you can be thinking, oh, you don't have any faith. You don't believe this will really go. You know, you don't feel any different. You feel it. You're getting sick. You can have those things ringing around your head and still believe in your heart and say no, and believe that you can have what you say and say, no, I'm healed. And receive your healing and stand right in the face of something looking contrary and get the answer. But if you say, oh, it's just hammering my head. I just don't feel like it. Oh, it's not working. Who said it's not working? The thought is telling you that, your mind, but that's not truth. We have to be able to speak out even in the face of contrary circumstances or even our own feelings, our own doubts. You have to speak through it. You have to go right through it. If you only are going to speak the Word when you feel like it's true, you're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for you. Because it's when the pressure's the greatest and you're feeling pushed on and you don't feel like there's any way and you don't feel like it's true is when we need to speak it boldly and say the Word's true and speak what the Word says in the face of problems. In the face of certain, and that's when we see it come through. That's called faith. So you don't need faith when it looks like everything's fine. That's not faith. You just have it. It'd be like if it were raining outside like it was today, this morning. And let's say you had a promise from God. I mean, this is what it's like, that it was going to be sunny. Well, if it's sunny outside and you go, I just believe it's sunny, that's not believing. Anybody would be like, what? It is sunny. And if you look on the app on your phone, it shows a little sunshine and whatever. But when it's completely cloudy and it's pouring rain, you say, no, these clouds are going to clear. Well, see, you believe something there. That's when you're saying, I believe it. When it looks the worst, it doesn't look like there is no blue poking out anywhere. There's definitely no sun. But how many of you know the sun is shining above those clouds? See, regardless of what we see, just because it looks bad, God is still there, and God's Word is true, and it's standing just like that. It's constant, and what we have to believe is that stuff that you see is going to go away, and the truth will shine through. But it's always like that. And if we say, well, it really looks rainy today, I guess there's no way it could be sunny today. That even a natural person would go, well, of course, it's subject to change. Just stick around. For it to be raining and you say, well, there's no way it's going to be sunny today, you haven't been paying attention if you've been around for a while. Right? How many of you know, I don't care what they say on the weather forecast. No matter what it's doing now, it can change. You know, it was snowing not that long ago, one of those storms. I mean, it was a blizzard. And in the middle of that, not long after, in the middle of the afternoon, the sun poked out on one of those days. I mean, all of a sudden, it was like sunny. And just, it was like if you would have seen it an hour before, there's blowing snow, and no way it looked like the sun's going to poke out. But it did. So we have something that's much stronger. We have the Word of God, and when God says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. So it doesn't say anything about your head, not what you can see. It says you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So in the circumstance, whenever you see it, you say, I believe it. I believe God's word's true. You say, well, I just don't feel like I have faith. Faith is believing what God said and that he will do what he said he will do. That's all it is. So when you're believing it, is it doesn't look like it, and you say, God, I believe this anyway. My body is strong anyway. My body is healed anyway. And you say it, the Bible says you'll have what you say. Now, if you say what you have, that's a different thing. If you sit there and go, I just don't understand it. I don't feel good. It just looks bad. And I don't know why the doctor said that. And I want this to change. You're talking about what you have. That's not what this verse says. It says to say what you believe. It just says don't doubt in your heart, but if you believe those things that you say, it will come to pass. It will. It's not, this is a law of God. This is not optional. So, well, how come it doesn't work? It's not working for me. What did you just say? It's not working for me. How would you know it's not working? Well, it doesn't look like it. Well, see, there you just answered your own question. It's right in front of our nose a lot of times. That's what we're talking about here. We're getting down to nitty-gritty. Okay, forget religious teaching. Forget putting on an act. Forget, yeah, I heard some recordings or MP3s. I was going to say tapes, but nobody listens to tapes anymore. You know, I heard these things, these teachings, and so I believe God. You know how you can tell if you believe God? A big indicator is what you're saying out of your mouth. It doesn't matter if you say you believe and you're constantly talking this junk. You're undoing anything that you would be believing. And you're actually putting this in reverse. So you're saying you believe, but what you come out of your mouth is negative, and as it comes out, it's putting that into existence, not what we want. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. We've all done it. We've all said the wrong thing, but let's not act like the laws of God don't work, and we just don't know. No, a lot of times we just line up with what the Word of God says. And I'm not saying you do it by your own strength and you go, well, I'm going to do it. We do it by the grace of God. We say, Lord, by your grace, I'll stand. I'll say the right thing. But we have to cooperate. We can't put the car in reverse and put our foot on the gas pedal and wonder why we're not going forward. I just don't understand. I'm going backwards. What are you doing? Well, I'm saying all the wrong stuff. I just don't understand why my body's not feeling better. Because I believe we're just completely contradicting what the Word says. So let's not do that. Say, well, I can't. Yeah, we can, because God told us to do it. Can we? Can we do what God told us to do? If He told us to do something and we actually can't do it, then he's unjust. He's not that way. Now, our flesh may not feel like it. Our flesh may feel like I can't do it. But since when do we listen to what our flesh says? If you listen to what your flesh says all the time, you, me, whoever it is, we're going to be in trouble. Because your flesh doesn't want to do the right thing. Does it? Doesn't matter who you are, your flesh is flesh. Your body is your body. It's natural. It wants to do the easiest thing. Doesn't want to do anything remotely hard. Doesn't want to get up. Then what's up? Doesn't want to go to bed. Huh? Hardest thing to get up in the morning, but then, hey, you're up. Man, I don't want to go to bed. I'm into this thing. I want to stay up. Then you go to bed. Oh, I can't get up. Well, 6 hours ago, you couldn't go to bed. Can't go to sleep. Well, you know, 15 hours ago, you couldn't get up. See, it just wants what it wants, when it wants it. If we listen to our flesh, we're going to be in a world of hurt. Our flesh is not God. Is that news to anybody? We have to listen to what the Word says. We got to act on what the Word says. He says here, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Believe that's true? You believe what Jesus said is true? Does Jesus know what he's talking about? Are we a whoever? It must work. It's working. It's working one way or another. It's working in our lives. So we've been talking about this in relation to healing, that words have so much to have so much impact. Let's go over to, we read a few scriptures in Proverbs. Let's go over to Proverbs 18. I'll read some of these scriptures and we'll go a little bit further. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Emphasized this one last time. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of what?
The tongue.
So what we say, we can have what we say. This is saying, we decide based on what we're saying. We can have life, we can have death. You could say, you could replace death with sickness, you could replace life with health. Sickness and health are in the power of the tongue. You believe it? God's word is true. Look over at Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue. What does it mean to guard something?
Watch your mouth.
Hmm? You know, what is it? Does it give you a picture if there are guards surrounding something, you know, like let's say it was Fort Knox or whatever, and there are guards with guns walking around guarding. What does that mean? They're protecting it. They're keeping people from getting in and doing things that they shouldn't. Well, what does it say when you are guarding your mouth and tongue? Whoever guards his mouth and tongue, what does that mean? It means you watch what comes out of our mouth and make sure nothing that's not anything that's not supposed to come out of our mouth, that it doesn't make it out of our mouth. It implies an effort. It implies monitoring. It doesn't say whatever you want and everything of the things of God will work anyway. We just got done reading. That's not true. We're supposed to guard what we say. Because if we expect our words to have punch, see, people, it's easy to think, well, I said the word of God. I spoke to the mountain. Okay, but what are all the other things that are coming out of our mouths all the time? If we're loose with our mouths, if we'll just say anything, but then when we really mean it, then we expect it to work. It doesn't work that way. If we will monitor and guard our mouths, don't say things that we don't mean. See, the world is very flippant with its words. The people will say whatever. They'll just say something and just to get a reaction from somebody, they'll say something to manipulate people. They don't have any intention of following through. As Christians, we can't be like that. God, when he says something, he means it. He says what he means what he says. He doesn't have any idle words. Think about it. Because if he says it, it's going to happen. He doesn't just fool around. He doesn't just say something to say it. He doesn't say something to get a reaction out of people. Now, you don't just, don't get legalistic about it, but the Proverbs talks about this. It says, don't deceive your neighbor and then say, I was only joking. The people won't believe you. And you just say something. See, you know, there's something internally when you say something and don't mean it. There's something that should go off on the inside. Yourself is thinking, well, I don't really mean that. It should be to where we recoil from that, because when you say something, it ought to be that your name, your full backing is behind it. When you say it, that's it. It's going to happen. If I say I'll do something, I'll do it. The Bible says that the man of integrity will swear to his own hurt. It means you do it, I said it, I'm going to do it. Even if it hurts me. See, the world's not like that. I said it, things have changed, I'm not going to do it now because I'd lose money. That's not godly. And the world is very flippant. We as Christians should not be flippant. And when we become where we're guarding and monitoring our mouth, again, don't get legalistic about it, okay? We don't need, when we've had them for decades, we don't need confession police around. This is talking about ourselves, okay? We don't have to go around and correct what other people are saying. God doesn't do that. God will gently, let you know, but we don't need people going around telling people, well, you shouldn't say that, don't you know? Come on. I've shared this before, I think, but I can't remember what it was. When Pastor Hagin turned 65 or 60, probably. Must have been, because it's like over 15 years ago. Maybe it was 60. I don't know. Anyway, it had Aretha Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Sr., and his wife sitting there talking, and they were talking, I think they were talking about Pastor Hagin, Ken Hagin, saying something that he did. It's like, and she goes, he liable to scare me to death, or something like that, she said. That's the wife of Kenneth E. Hagin, the one, you can have what you say. I mean, and she didn't believe that she was going to keel over dead. It's a figure of speech. She probably grew up around hearing that. She's just saying, it scared the heck out of me. It scared me. That's all she's saying. Yeah. And people that would never say that would just toe around leather law and they'd correct anybody. Oh, you don't want to say that. We could take it and be legalistic about it. We don't need to be legalist about it. So don't get hung up about it. You're talking about things that you say. If you know you're saying something that you don't mean, don't say it. Don't say it. Like, I'm not talking, like, I'm going to go there, but I'm not going to. Yeah, I'll meet you when you're thinking, I'll see if I feel like it. Huh? We're not talking about, you be led by the Lord, but we're not talking about just every little phrase or something. We're talking about things that you say that you don't mean. When you're talking about like a phrase like that, nobody means anybody's going to die. Does she literally mean her son scared her to death? No, that never is crossing her mind. That's not what she's saying. So we don't get legalistic. At the same time, we ought to guard it to where we understand. See, this is the thing. Some people would guard like that. They would get hung up over somebody saying a phrase like, it would scare me to death. They would never let that come out of their mouth. On the other hand, they are talking about how sick they are, how broke they are, how they don't like this person, how they can't stand their spouse. And then if you say something like, scare me to death, they're all over you. That's exactly the opposite of what should be going on. We've seen a whole lot of that stuff over the years. People that get overly concerned about the little micro things about these things are usually not the people that are actually walking in it in reality. Because it's much easier to monitor the superfluous edge stuff than it is actually change what you mean. to actually change your behavior and not say things when you really feel like saying it, and you hold your tongue, and not say something that you want to tell somebody off, and not say you don't feel good when you're not feeling good. Those are much harder to change than to be the confession police. And it's like this in every area. That's why you have people that will do that, because that's easy. It's easy to try to micromanage somebody else's confession rather than change our own lives. And that's what gets the job done. And that's not necessarily easy on your flesh. Did you hear me? It's not. But it's the Word, and it'll work, and God will help us. If we'll just yield to Him and say, you know, the Bible says that we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear. So when we say, I just can't do it, that's a lie. That's not true. God, the Bible says that He won't be, you can feel the greatest pressure, but God is saying it's not more than you can handle. If you'll just tap into the grace and the strength that is with you right now and just say, Lord, I want to say this, but you said I wouldn't be tempted. I can handle it. Lord, I choose to look at you. If you'll turn to Him right there, you'll see the strength come, and you'll have the ability to control your mouth. Amen. It's the power of God is there, but we have to pull in. If we have to pull on it, if we'll say, I just can't, God Himself can't help us. You say, oh, sure, He can't. No, He can't. If you say you can't, even though He has already said you can, you're right. Think about it. If God's already said, I've sent my Son to die for you, and somebody says, oh no, I don't believe that, God can't save that person. Isn't that amazing? God can't do that. He gave you a free will. He can't go back on His word. Do you realize what would happen if God went back on His word? And I don't claim to know every little thing, but I know the Bible says that the world is upheld by the word of His power. All things. He can't do that. Yeah, but they really need help. Is that worth the universe blowing up? When He gave the ability to us, all we have to do is just agree with Him. And He'll make His word come to pass. That's what we have to do. So it said here in verse 23, Proverbs 21:23, it said, whoever guards, again, what does it say? What's the first word? Whoever. Sounds a lot like the whoever. Whoever says to this mountain. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How can we keep our soul from trouble? Put a guard on our mouth. Put a monitor on our mouth. What if you let something slip by? Just say, that was stupid. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Lord, forgive me. And go on. You don't have to spend an hour trying to dismantle what you said. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe that. That'll never happen. I break the power of those words. But you don't have to go back 3 days and make sure you get everything. It's enough just to say, you know what, I don't believe that. I'm going on. And just say what you believe. Okay? You can change the course right there. You don't have to get legalistic. Well, what if I miss one? You've already whipped yourself if that's the way you think. Because you probably did miss one. Probably a whole 10 years of ones you missed when you didn't even know. So just bypass all that and just say, Lord, that was stupid. You know when David committed murder and adultery, did all that stuff, he didn't go back and just say, he just said, Lord, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. He just said, I've sinned. He said, I blew it, and now I'm going on. He didn't go back. I mean, those are some pretty heavy duty things. Huh? Again, we don't need to be legalistic. Oh, I said something. I got to do 3 days worth of penance and go and make sure I break the power of this and bind this and undo this. That's flesh. Got to make sure I just do it just right, undo. You know what that is? It's fear. It's fear. It's driven by fear that if I don't do it right, Satan's going to have a way in. You know how you shut the door? You just say, that was wrong. I believe God. God, thank you for helping me. And you go on. And that's how you shut the door. See, he's already whipped us when he gets us in these circles. We're afraid that if we miss something, we're going to be beat. That's fear motivated. It's not a believing thing that even if I did miss something, God is with me and he'll overcome it, so I'm all set. I have the greater one with me. I have the greater one in me. So we need to watch our mouths. We need to set a guard over our mouths. Say, I can't do that. Yeah, we can. The Bible just told us to do something. Said we can do it. Look at Proverbs 12:18. You in Proverbs. Proverbs is a good book. I highly recommend it. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Anybody ever experienced something like that? Do you know you can pierce yourself with words? It says, but the tongue of the wise promotes what? Health. See, it doesn't have to be somebody else throwing daggers at you. You can throw them at yourself. These words coming out, I don't know why I can't get it. I don't know why my body's not feeling well. I just feel so sick. Those are like daggers. They can cut in like swords. They hurt us. But the tongue of the wise, the one that agrees with God, the one that agrees with what he says, promotes healing and health. How many of you know God's words never promote sickness? They never promote injury. They never are those daggers, ever. If there's ever a person who walked the earth that had the right to throw daggers at people, it would have been Jesus. He was sinless. We just don't know what this person's done to me. Look what they did to Jesus. He was perfect. And he could have shut people down left and right, but he didn't. I mean, he was harsh, you would say, with some people, but that was the only way to cut through the nonsense that they believed. The Pharisees and these religious people, he was being as loving with them as he could. You realize you can treat people differently. It's not that you're playing favorites, but you deal with people differently based on where they're at and what they'll receive and different personalities. You can just, you know, whisper something to some type of people and they just, you know, just barely correct them and they just are smitten and they start crying and they're just, oh, I'm sorry. You try that on some types of personalities, they don't even know you're talking to them. You got to half knock them across the head. And they're like, oh, what, you talking to me? Oh, you want me to change that? All right, I'll do it. Why don't you say so? I did. 10 times. 10 different ways. But you take that and talk to that first person like that, they think they're ready to die. Jesus knew that. So these Pharisees, they're hard-headed. They're religious. And Jesus had to go, you brood of vipers? And they're still not listening. You know, the lady that committed adultery, he didn't get on her. He didn't treat her like that. But we can be this way with ourselves. We got to watch what we're saying. When you're not feeling good, it's easy to let your mouth go and start hurting yourself or start hurting your spouse or your friend, the people that are on your side. Or God. Huh? Don't look at me like that. You've never got mad at God. We shouldn't. God's not a problem. He's the one that's on our side trying to help. Think of who he is. And he's looking at our poor little human self going, really, you think I'm your problem? You're confused. Think about it. He's looking down at you and you're all turned around and you think, oh, everything's going bad. And he's like, if you just listen to me, I'll help you. But don't start, you know, it's like if you think about him, infinite, I don't know how, you know, he holds the universe in his hand. But you just think, I mean, even of like an adult, and you got this little toddler that's getting mad at him, you think, you know, they think you're the adult's their problem and beating on you on your legs and stuff. You're like, kid, I'm not your problem. I'm trying to help you. You're confused. You turn around. You go that way. Think it must, what it looked like to, you know, God's this infinite being, and we're this little bitty person that's been around for a few decades, and we're getting mad at him going, hey, why don't you let it happen? And he's just like, my little kid, just come on. I'm not your problem. You're confused. You're turned around. I'm trying to help you. This guy over here that's trying to beat, he's the enemy. I'm not the enemy. Hey, you got how many billions of people that are in this condition? They're mad at God. And they're letting all this stuff come out of their mouth. It's real easy to do. And then, you know, you listen to the devil, yield to that junk, say all this stuff, and then he turns right around and beats you up for that. Can't believe you said that about God. How dare you? You call yourself a Christian? I mean, good night. Really, you said that? And then that's just another reason for you to beat yourself up more. The devil's mean. He's wicked. And he knows all the time that God is actually good and on your side, and he tries to get people against God. You know why? Because then he can pick you off. Right. He's not messing around. Nope. He gets people separated, gets them over here. You just see it coming sometimes, I'm telling you. As a pastor, you watch people, you're like, oh, man. They're just getting... They're going to get picked off. Because you know what he does? He separates people. He tries to separate people from God. He tries to separate them from other believers. And they get weak. And then he takes them out. But you know, he tries to separate people from God because God's their help. God's not the problem. But when we start letting this junk come out of our mouth, we are going off in the wrong direction. We're letting ourselves, by our words, we're pushing ourselves away from our help. We can beat ourselves up. Why would we ever, who in their right mind would ever say something negative about themselves? People do it all the time. But I'm saying, if you were just to ask like a crowd, a group of people and say, is it wise or unwise to say negative things about yourself, almost everybody would say, well, that's dumb. I wouldn't. That's not something you should do. But when you are under pressure, why is there such a temptation for you to say something bad about your situation, about yourself? Because the enemy, if he can get you to do that, he's using your mouth against you and using it as a weapon to beat you up because he knows we have authority. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if he can get you to speak death over yourself, he uses that to beat us up. He uses that to separate us. He uses that to create sickness. Because you know, if you speak condemnation and tell yourself, I messed up, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done that. Well, if you shouldn't have done it, then get rid of it and get it under the blood of Jesus. Get it washed away and say, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me and go on. Because if you're confessing condemnation on yourself, your body is going to pick it up and it will generate sickness in you. Your immune system will start going down to where you're susceptible to all the junk that's been around you anyway. What it's going to do is just go on and walk down the street. There's junk in the air everywhere. You go around. But your immune system's made to fight that off and the power of God can help you. But if you start saying, I shouldn't have done that. I should do this. I shouldn't have done that. Why'd I do that again? Why'd I do that? Well, if you shouldn't have done it, then get rid of it. Get corrected and go on, but don't sit there and say something evil about yourself, because your body will start agreeing with what you're saying. Because the tongue, but on the other hand, the tongue of the wise promotes health. So just like that, those things can be swords and tearing us down, if we'll say what God says, if we'll say what He has to say about us, what the Word says, it is health and healing. Even if your body looks weak, it is encouraging us, it is building us up, it is strengthening our body. Did we not read that we could have what we say? That whoever says to this mountain, that it will come to pass? So if we'll speak health, if we'll say, no, body, you're strong. My body is strong. Lord, thank you that you're working on my behalf. You're helping me. Things are going well, even if things don't look like they're going well. Thank you, Lord, you're turning this around. Thank you, Lord, my body's strong. My body is healthy. Whatever the part of your body that's having trouble, you say that. That's the tongue of the wise. That's believing God. That's agreeing with the Almighty. That's saying what He says is true. Whether we understand everything that's going on or not, we're agreeing with the King of the universe, and we're allowing Him to work out what He needs to in our lives. We're giving Him access to our bodies. We're giving Him access to our lives. That's the tongue of the wise. Somebody that's wise, they're doing the correct thing. You know, you can act wise even if you don't understand everything. You can act wise beyond your years. People will say, well, if you act in line with the Bible, you are wise beyond your years. You're saying, this book, I believe it's the Word of God. Therefore, it already has in it what I need to succeed. I don't have to make all the mistakes. I just have to do what it says. And if it says, in this case, to say the right thing, I'm going to say the right thing, whether I feel like it or not, because that's what God said to do, and He knows way more than I do. Wouldn't that be the smart thing to do? Amen. We can agree with God and be wise, and we can have health and strength in our bodies. Amen. Amen. Whoever. Whosoever. Thank God. I don't care if most of the world doesn't believe what we're saying. Who cares? I believe it. God's Word says it. Are we going to be wise or not? Huh? There's a bunch of people that are deceived. We realize that?
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay if they think you're nuts. I'd rather be on the right side and be wise and be agreeing with the Almighty. Amen. We're going to find out who's nuts at some point.
Amen.
Huh? You believe that? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Hallelujah.